Blog Talk Radio.
Living life on a merry-go-round, you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out.
Guess what time it is, ladies and gentlemen? Yes, it's time to rise one more time. If you're in America, whether it be on the East Coast, Midwest, or on the West Coast, you all have one thing in common. The sun's coming up right now, okay? And you are up today, too. And guess what? You have an opportunity to join in with our host, Dr. Tametra Clark, as she talks about grief and loss. And a few other things, so fasten your seatbelt, stay ready for the surprises that's going to come up in our show. Do know that it's brought to you by Flashback Academy, where we help veterans and former foster care youth not only get off the street, but learn marketable trades and skills to either get a good job or go into business. But we don't stop there. We're looking forward to offering them real paid jobs so they can get that work experience that they need, because graduating nowadays, the first thing that they're asking in this competitive markets are, where's your experience? So they'll get that because we care. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, fasten your seatbelt, sit up, get your cup of coffee if you haven't gotten already, and enjoy it. Dr. Tametra Clark, welcome again to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. I am so glad to be back with you, an honor and a privilege every time I get the opportunity to share information that will hopefully inspire people, that will hopefully give them a better outlook to a topic that can be very heavy and can be very daunting. So as we get ready this morning, just take a deep breath in and take a deep breath out. I think that was probably more for me than anyone else as we continue the conversation on grief and loss, our tangible losses versus our intangible losses. And does it even make a difference? Right, because at the end of the day, a loss is a loss. And so during my research, as I get closer to completing the book, I wanted to make sure that on just one type of loss being physical loss, right? I wanted to make sure that people had another perspective of what loss is. Although the book is about the journey of physical loss, I wanted to provide some background information and a context to set everything up. And so in that, I briefly talk about tangible versus intangible losses, and I include an appendix so that you can get more information. But because loss is such a huge word and serves as the umbrella for various types of losses, I wanted to see if I could help put a little bit of those losses in perspective. So we know pretty much what we're talking about when we say tangible losses, right? Those tangible losses are those that we can see, that we can feel, that we can touch, right? And so that's where we get our biggest impact from. So but from our tangible losses come these secondary losses that then become some of those intangible losses that we talk about, right? Because when we have losses from like a natural disaster, from divorce, from bankruptcy, from things like that, those are also losses that we kind of talked about but they are different types of losses. And sometimes people don't consider those things, which is why we have some of what we call that disenfranchised grief, where I'm grieving something that means something to me, and you don't understand why it's having that impact on me. And in someone else's mind, it may look like, oh, you need to just get over it. But it's something about that loss, even though the other person can't see it, they can't feel it, they can't touch it, but it has a meaning to you. So therefore, you have this strong reaction to it. So when we look at intangible losses stemming directly from the physical losses in our life, what might those things look like? So an intangible loss could be moving from one city to another. It could be leaving your childhood home behind. It could be your child going off to college. It could be that divorce that we talked about. And divorce in particular has a domino effect, because that divorce does not just impact the husband and the wife, or those two that are in that relationship divorcing, but it impacts everyone involved in those relationships, oftentimes the kids, right? And so it becomes a ripple effect for the children involved in the divorce, and then other losses that come up for that child as a result of. So even suffering from a debilitating illness can be considered an intangible loss. So anytime there are significant changes in our life and to our lifestyle, we risk feeling the effects of grief and of loss, right? So back to divorce, if our children are impacted by that, then this intangible loss, we know that if it is not recognized and if it is not intercepted, that our children can suffer long-term down the line. If they may start having some issues in their own relationships, their social skills. In school, they may not do well. Some of their behavioral problems may start to manifest themselves. And so intangible losses are very, very impactful as to how we grieve and what we grieve, because it doesn't give any less weight to the grieving process. And does that grieving process and that mourning process look different from a tangible loss? No. You still go through the cycles and stages of grief when you're dealing with intangible losses. Your intangible losses make room, for lack of better terminology at the moment, for the more complicated and the chronic grief patterns that we've talked about before. Because it's the intangible losses that seem to come back to back to back, right? So if we've had multiple physical losses, well, each of those losses has brought with it another tangible loss. So in physical death, remember I said it's relational, and remember I said the stronger the relationship and the number of labels and the relationships that you held with that person is how we now have to redefine ourselves. Well, each of those labels and the relationship title that was given to that person carries an intangible loss to it. So we never just deal with loss in and of itself, one single factor of loss, one tangible physical loss that we can see, that we can feel, that we could touch at one time. It's always going to have an intangible component to it, which is why sometimes it makes the process of grieving and mourning so difficult, because each element needs to have its own grieving and mourning process. And how do we even make sense of a situation to be able to do that and to compartmentalize each loss that needs its own sufficient time for grieving? And so that's where we find ourselves oftentimes just saying, oh, I'm good, I'll get over it. And we just try to push ourselves through it and go back to living life as before. And we have all these stumbling blocks that come up. Can't live in the same way that we've lived before. It's just like the pandemic. People always say, oh, I can't wait till things get back to normal. The life as we knew it is over, that we've lost that way of living. And so everything that we did pre-pandemic, the way that we walked, the way that we talked, the way that we showed up in the room, the way that we presented ourselves, the way that we did our jobs, the way that we cared for our families, we can't care. We can't have those same protocols anymore. We have now had to redefine ourselves in the midst of this pandemic so that we can show up, so that we can be fruitful, so that we can be beneficial to our families. And what we have learned is that we have had to make the major paradigm shift as to how we now show up in our space. And it's the same thing with loss. Once that loss has occurred, everything pre-loss, pre-death, all of that is no more. We now have to redefine ourselves in the midst of it. And it takes time. It takes persistence. It takes intention. We must live intentionally and be aware that these stumbling blocks are going to come, and they can very well be related to a loss that we have not allowed ourselves the space or the grace to address. Dr. Brown, you have a comment?
You know, I do. I was taking some notes here as you were sharing regarding tangible and intangible losses, and we know that can cover a wide ground. As a lad, I remembered something that we called the good old days. And we look forward to if we could only play those back one more time. So I was going down the road to the home that I was raised in, and it didn't look the same. The experience of parking outside, it didn't feel the same. I wanted to get out and go and knock on the door and say, hey, can I walk through this house? Because I want to recapture a memory, but I knew that was not going to happen. The big giant tree that was in the front yard, dropping leaves all over everywhere, and I had to go and rake some of the neighbor's yards because of the amount of trees. That also was no more. The smells were different.
Mm-hmm.
So the tangible loss, I remembered I had tried this event several times. I went on my motorcycle. I loved my motorcycle. I thought it was the greatest thing ever invented. And just in case you guys ride out there, it was called a Gold Wing. No, it wasn't hard. It'd make a whole bunch of noise and then break down on the highway. But that's another story, okay? But it was an experience. I really enjoyed it. And I didn't crash it. It didn't get repossessed because it was paid for cash. But what happened was I had a couple of strokes. And this leads me to where I'm going. I knew I had to park it because not only did I have a couple of strokes, I dropped it one time. Not while I was riding down the street real fast and reckless. No, I had just gotten my gas and I was pulling out of the gas station. And I had to stop before I engaged. And it got too heavy for me. And my buddies had to come and lift me up like it was some old guy who had fallen and couldn't get up. Oh, gosh. I remembered it like it was yesterday, but I'm noticing I can't go back and relive things. There was a young lady, a poet. Her name was Maya Angelou. And
mm-hmm.
the famous word that she used to say, or a line, and she said, no matter what you go through or how attached you get to things, it's just stuff. So the question I have for you, Dr. Clark, as we put things in perspective, the loss of individual relationships or experiences on jobs or whatever that might be, you know, the guy's too old to play on this team anymore. It's not always a black and white thing, but as we prioritize, just like you said, you have to redefine yourself sometime. I got to share a quick personal story, and I know I'm taking up a little bit more of my time, but this is very personal, and when we do this show, sometimes we don't ever really want to be so superficial, but we want to protect our little bit of privacy that we got because we know Big Brother's watching wherever we are at these days. But I used to try to be a mentor for one of my colleagues' sons. And I used to, as we were preparing to go and do whatever event or speaker or something, I would park outside and I'd wait and I'd watch he and his friend play basketball. He might have been 13, 14 years old, and says, you know, I could give this kid a few pointers. And I did, and he kept trying, and he didn't cut it on his basketball team in college, and I felt responsible for that. So later after he graduated, he came home, and we had an opportunity to go out and play one day. And I think he was mildly excited because he knew I had come from a long way just to pick him up and be a mentor to him. And we got out there, and we began the basketball game, and we played pretty hard. And I'm sure he was kind of surprised to know that I even had any skills because we had never played. I'd never shot a ball. But here goes the grief part, and maybe you can help me with that. We were playing the game, and it got down to the wire where one of the teams had to make the next shot to win, period. Now, I've had this scenario a million times, whether it be in high school and college myself, and or just playing pickup games. So I kind of knew what time it was. And this young lad, instead of taking the shot himself, he humbled himself and gave it to me with an attitude of, I know you're going to take it home, Dr. Brown. You're going to win the game for us, and we're going to celebrate all the way back home. Well, I got the ball, and I took the shot. And he doesn't know this, and hopefully someone out there who knows who I'm talking about will let this young man know. I missed the shot, and I've been crushed ever since. And I'm sure this is quite a few years have passed now. But, Doctor, I have not gotten over that. But I'm really concerned, did he get over it? And I know I had to switch that up a little bit and turn it into personal, but this has been aching me for so long. Prioritize your stuff, ladies and gentlemen, as she's suggesting, and it's hard to let stuff go. But just compartmentalize and say, you know what, I remember that, and that was good, and that's just part of my package I'm going to carry with me. And let's hope that the good outweighs the bad. Thank you for allowing me to vent and share, Doctor.
Well, for you, in that instance, that was just pride, right? So when you're grieving your pride, that's
there's
one of those
words.
Yeah, there's a such word as pride. Your ego. That was all about your ego because you were in a role that you wanted to make sure that you maintained, right, with this lad. And so now how am I now being perceived by this lad who's not verbalizing it, right? So is he in his mind calling me a bunch of names? Saying I knew I should have took the shot myself, or is he able to say, well, that's what happened to me? And
well,
so
I know
for you,
yeah,
you've got to take that same perspective. Well, someone's got to win and someone's got to lose, right? I'm not being paid for it, so what's the good thing out of it, right? So I'm able to say, well, you know what, someone has to win, someone has to lose. I'm able to accept the fact that, you know what, I'm not going to get it right always because perfection is a perception.
Ooh.
Right? And so there is something that could be learned out of that experience as well, a negative experience that you can turn around to make it positive. So now that it's been festering with you so long, and now that it's come up and you've let it out, sit with the fact that perfection is a perspective, and things change. I'm not going to get it right. You became more human in that moment than you may have been before because you may have been on a pedestal with him, which is why he gave you the ball. this is the guy that never lets me down. This is the guy that never lets me down. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. But you may have become just as human to him at that point because you now had a flaw.
So okay, you're talking about the ego, and you're more than likely right, like most of the time, okay? I didn't want to have that talk of, well, you got to win some and lose some. That wasn't what I wanted to bestow upon him.
But that's how we generally think about things, right? We want to win in every way, but you have to look at it as you were still a winner. Right? Because what were you teaching him at that point? You're teaching him social skills. You're teaching him how to interact. And you must be able to interact in situations that seem negative or seem not okay. You could have blew the top. You could have, went off and had some anger management issues right there, but you kept those things in. So you show them how to maybe lose with grace.
Okay, you asked, what was I trying to give him? I was trying to give the move, how to, break the guy, the defender's ankles and make the winning shot. So you're right. I'll have to probably get over that, and I'll extend my apologies, although it may not really be necessary, huh?
Exactly, because it may be that you're holding on to that. And in his mind, he has moved on and gone on about his business and living life. Because sometimes that's what we do, right? We think that there is some strife or we think that there is a loss somewhere between us and someone else because of something and we're holding on and harboring that. And that other person or whatever is going on about their business, not thinking about us. But we're sitting over in this corner really stressing and wondering why our stomach is hurting and wondering why, we're feeling bad over this thing and it's impacting no one but us.
Okay.
We're the only ones grieving over it. We're the only ones grieving and stressed and needing counseling and needing therapy over something that is really not even necessary.
Okay, so
right.
Stop worrying about the house. They're never going to paint it the same way, and it's not the same house anyway.
Not the same house. I look at my family house in Texas, and it is barely standing on its leg, But it's when you know where it came from, because my grandfather, great-great-great-grandfather, built that house from the ground up. So to see it not there, it's like, oh, man, all this hard work is gone. But we you know that it's more beneficial for someone else to come and do whatever they're gonna do because the family didn't have, what it took to bring it back up. So that's when you just hold on to those memories. So now how do I honor that space that great great grandpa had? We hold on to the pictures and the memories there, the pictures where you leaning on the porch and you posing in front of the house to say it becomes now a part of her family history. So, yeah, that's how I can honor that land, that property. We continue to pay the taxes to honor the hard work that was put into it. Does that become a challenge sometimes? Yes. But to honor what was gifted to the family and to try to keep it going. Now, there will come a time where that decision is going to have to be made. Look, enough is enough. Is it really worth it? And so that conversation will need to take place at some point. But just to know that, yeah, he did that. My great-great-grandpa built this mug from ground up. And I had the opportunity to be there at one point to see it, to walk through it, to, eat at the table, to walk through the bedrooms, to do those things.
Sounds to me like he built more than a house.
It's something that we can all be proud of, right?
No. That roof, under that roof, he helped build a family that's able to go out and engage with the world. So my memory now has changed aside moving from the shame because I have to remember the image that more than likely I was projecting and the young man, you're right, witnessed how I managed a loss. mm-hmm. how I overcame that and continued to move forward. And he had, hung out with me a few other times and saw other things that I was engaged in. And I'm sure his perception was not defined by that moment of missing the shot, because in the world of life, he's seen me take quite a few shots. So thank mm-hmm. you for putting in perspective.
My pleasure. Well, we're getting close to wrapping up our time together. Mr. Brown, you have some final words. But before you come in, let me just say that grief and loss can seem like a never-ending tunnel, dark tunnel. But what I want to encourage everyone to know that there is a light, and the way that you go through this process helps to determine what your light looks like at the end of this tunnel, because it does go on. Life does go on. It can't stop. What you do with it is up to you. We've got to make it up in our mind that no matter how the hits keep coming, I have to keep living. And yes, it does mean at times, and there's at times where we're on this constant roller coaster of reinventing ourselves. But that's how we grow in life. And it gets painful and it gets hard. We want to stop. We want to throw in the towel. But that's the point where the growth is happening. So allow yourself to go through that process. And know that you're not designed to go through that process alone. And so as we get ready to wrap up our time together, from Dr. Alan Wolfert, as you guys take those deep breaths in and you allow yourself to breathe out, I need not instinctively know what to do or how to be with my grief. I can reach out to others who have walked this path before. I can learn that to ultimately heal, I must touch and be touched by the experiences of those who have gone before me. These people can offer me hope, inner strength, and the gift of love. Until next time, give yourself room to grieve.
Wonderfully said. Folks, I'm just going to remind you what I try to do. When you're driving the car, you can't keep looking in the rearview mirror because you're going to run into something. As you walk down the street, you can't keep looking back and holding on to yesterday because you're going to run into a wall. You got to stay out the rearview mirror, give life your best shot, because unfortunately, you don't get a whole lot of chances at trying to getting it right, but you are building from there. So I will take you out with Harold Melvin and the Blue Note. Get past.
Oh.